You're listening to Sounds Broadly Specific, and I'm Steve Duncan. And today I'm going to talk about blogging tools. Well, blogging platforms, really. You know, this seems to be something a lot of people are turning back to these days, and I'm doing the same thing. After having blogs off and on for many years and sort of leaving them for social media, starting to have a yearn for my own place in the web again. And so I'm looking at the different options that are out there. I've always used WordPress. And WordPress is still the big elephant in the room, but the question is, what else is there? Is there a better choice for somebody who's not starting a business, that is very commercial in nature, but somebody who's really just looking for a simple and expensive way to be on the web while still allowing for the possibility of selling a newsletter down the road or maybe monetizing in some way if they find a niche that works for them. And I guess what you might call an exploratory business. So WordPress is super flexible. It's been around for a long time. And it is, it powers, something 40%+ of the websites out there. And that makes it a magnet for scammers and spammers and hackers and all the people who just want to break your site or somehow cause trouble. It is not the simplest site to maintain if you're doing it yourself. And it's not the cheapest site to host if you're going to have WordPress.com do it. But because it's so flexible and does so many things, it's the first stop for a lot of people. And it certainly was for me, and it is today. But what else is there? Well, there's a bunch of other choices out there. I can't say that offhand there's an obvious WordPress replacement, but depending upon what you do, some things come kind of close. So I'm going to start with the least desirable, and Merck will work my way up to the most desirable options, at least from my point of view. So least desirable, however I wish it was more desirable, is Jekyll. And Jekyll is a tool that lets you build a static website. And I think that is a really cool idea, because if you look at WordPress and look at all the problems you might have with it, almost all of them stem from the fact that it is really a database application. And because of that, it can be exploited and cracked and broken into. And that's where all of the security weaknesses really come from, is the fact that it is an application. So if you got rid of the application and it's just a bunch of dumb HTML, well, there's not much hacking to be done except for taking the server down. So that's really attractive. Unfortunately, it takes away all the interactivity. And if you're running a blog and you want to build any kind of community, want to hear from your readers, you need comments. Now with Jekyll, you can do that depending upon where you host the pages, but it's not a clean or easy process. I did not dive very deeply into this. Basically, I got as far as GitHub being the main way to host it. Now, granted, you can do it for free, but you're then dependent on GitHub. And I would prefer not to be quite that integrated with somebody else's site. In the end, I decided that rather than try to make Jekyll be something that it's not, I would move on. So then I looked at sites like Write.as or Pika.page or BearBlog. All of these provide really simple, clean, bare bones writing tools. They give you a very clean theme, low cost to have an account. You can't really self-host these, but they're about the simplest way to get online and just start writing. However, they are almost too bare bones. None of them have tags. In fact, you could even include micro.blog in this category. It doesn't have tags either, but if you're somebody who writes on a lot of different subjects, tags, in my mind, are a necessity. Either tags or categories. I'll get into the difference between those in a minute, but you need some way to be able to say, this post is really about this stuff, and it goes with all these other posts. Now, if you're somebody who's just going to blog about a single narrow topic, this may not matter. If you're doing fiction, it might not matter. For me, it matters. So even though I liked the clean interface and the simplicity of it, I realized that these just did not have enough features. So what does that leave us? Well, that leaves us micro.blog, which is very promising in that it's well connected to the Fediverse and it is priced very well. Their premium plan is $10 a month, gives you 5 blogs, lets you do podcasts. It has a lot of cool simplicity to it. It does have categories, but it does not have any of the, I'll call them, audience building tools. It doesn't really give you any ability to collect subscribers, to organize your content into newsletters or things like that. If I knew I was never going to try to make any money from a blog and I just was more focused on getting some stuff out there, and I didn't want to go without any organization at all, then micro.blog is pretty attractive. In the end, though, the thing that really turned me off about it is it doesn't have tags. So I'm going to go on a bit of a tags rant here. Part of what's gotten me interested in blogging again is Mastodon. Now, I suppose I owe a little bit of thanks to Elon Musk, because by buying Twitter and turning it into an even worse platform than it already was, he drove me to go look at Mastodon. And what I found in Mastodon is that the world is not so full of glossy, polished content creators as, you know, Twitter might have you believe. It's full of normal people like me who just, you know, want to write about what they want to write about and share what they're doing. And I really like that. And it's got a cool feature in that instead of an algorithm, which is, you know, a machine looking at what you like, what you spend time on, and then giving you more of that, it has hashtags and the ability to follow hashtags. So when you want to learn about cat husbandry, you follow the cat husbandry hashtag, and then providing that people who write about cat husbandry tag their toots with cat husbandry, then you will see all those posts. Pretty simple. But for a few flaws. The first is, it's amazing how many people don't get this and post all kinds of stuff on Mastodon without tags. Well, you know, that doesn't really help anybody. The second thing is, the tools that would interact with Mastodon, a lot of those don't seem to get this either. And micro.blog, chief among them, does not have tags, therefore it does not pass the tags to Mastodon. So there's really no point in putting your content on Mastodon because nobody's going to find it. Now, if you've got a set list of people who are going to come to Mastodon looking for you specifically, this may not be an issue. But if you're trying to use Mastodon to start to build an audience, then you really kind of need to have that visibility. And that's the category I consider myself to be in. You know, I'm using Mastodon to try and connect with other folks who have a similar interest or similar interests to me. So I need that tags capability. So that pretty much narrows us down to, you guessed it, WordPress. And potentially another site called Ghost. Now, I think Ghost is very similar to WordPress in that it comes in two versions. There's a .org version, although there is no ghost.com, but it's a self-hostable open source platform that you can download and run on your own server and create your own Ghost site. Or you can go to ghost.org and create an account, and they will host your site. It's similar to WordPress in that you know, you could write posts. They can contain audio. I think they can even contain video. There's a pretty sophisticated editor built into it. And it's a pretty big and well-known package. They both have newsletter functionality. It's clear that Ghost kind of, it's a bigger part of Ghost than it is of WordPress. At least the features are more prominent and they are, I think, better handled in Ghost than they are in WordPress. But really the functionality is there. It's just slightly more complicated and confusing in WordPress. But Ghost right now does not have any ActivityPub connectivity. So if you want to connect to the Fediverse, you don't really have an option with Ghost. On the plus side, because Ghost is really focused on supporting writers and newsletter publishers and not anybody and everybody who has a store or could do anything on the internet, it's not as open as WordPress. There are code integrations, but not the huge library of plugins that WordPress has. So depending upon what you want to do, Ghost may just flat out have a brick wall saying you can't do that. Where with WordPress, chances are, no matter what you want to do, even things that it's really not well suited for, there's probably a plugin that will help you do it. And that's a good and a bad thing, right? WordPress.org is the free version. And I say the free version, but really what I mean is, if your time is worth nothing, then WordPress.org is free. Because you are not going to just download that software, put it on a server, and live happily ever after. You are going to need plugins for security. You're going to need plugins for performance, plugins to do all kinds of things, probably multiple plugins for security, and managing comments and other things. And you will have to update those plugins, and you'll have to deal with it when one of those plugins maybe gets hacked. Instead of dealing with one entity that's creating code, you're dealing with maybe dozens. And that is why WordPress.org is not really free, because you're going to have to do that maintenance, or you're going to have to pay somebody else to do it. I've spent quite a few years having a WordPress site on a server that I leased from Rackspace. And in the end, what I found was if I turned my back on it for as little as a month, it would be down for some reason or another. You know, if you're running a business and you employ somebody who can monitor the thing, or you can hire an agency, fantastic, right? You can afford that expense. Why not have the most capable tool you can? You're going to be dealing with somebody who has the expertise to take care of it anyway. Hey, it makes sense. But when you're a lone person who's just doing this as a hobby, and you may go weeks or months without looking at the site because, frankly, your muse is on vacation, or you're busy, right? It's not your primary activity. And then you come back and find that Google has marked your site as being a source of malware, that's a kind of a big problem, right? A couple steps forward and then 20 steps backward. So I decided that that was really not for me anymore. It's great if it's going to be your primary hobby, but boy howdy, it is easy to come back and find that the rebels have taken over. So I started with WordPress.com. Now WordPress.com has multiple price levels, but there's a big jump from what they call the premium level to the business level, from $8 a month to $25 a month. At $25 a month, you're looking at $300 per year, which is honestly a lot of money to spend on something that is a hobby. But they really kind of funnel you to that level, because you need to get to that level before you can use plugins. And as much as they've added the features that you mostly want to the basic WordPress.com stuff, they don't add everything. And the big one is, going back to ActivityPub, it doesn't work very well. What it puts on Mastodon is your entire post. And it does it kind of when it feels like doing it. You cannot change the format. And it does include hashtags, which is nice. But putting the entire post is, well, not always well advised. A lot of people don't want to see 2,000 words about something come through on their Mastodon feed. So it's nicer if you can just do an excerpt and do that instead. But you have to get the full ActivityPub plugin in order to be able to do that. There are some other things, minor things, that you might want to plug in for that WordPress.com does not do otherwise. But really, I'd say for most other things, the premium level does work. Now, WordPress.com also has an issue in that it's owned by Automattic, which is run in part by a guy named Matt Mullenweg, who has a bit of a reputation for being kind of a hothead. You know, I met the man once back in the aughts at a Gnomedex. He seemed perfectly normal back then. I have no idea if everything I read is true, but it does seem that he has a problem with a company called WP Engine and is handling the disagreement in a very public and some would say messy kind of way. And, you know, I'm not here to advocate for one side or the other, except that as a customer, the last thing I want is for the corporate leadership of a vendor I rely on to be acting erratically or giving me the feeling that I'm going to be dealing with unexpected, unpredictable problems. I need a tool, right? I don't pick my blogging platform because of, you know, it's not an identity thing. I'm not trying to make a political stand. I'm not trying to take a side in a revolution. I'm simply trying to use a tool. And for that, I just need the tool to do what it does. And if there's a fee to be paid, I'll pay it. But I don't really want to be wrapped up in somebody else's drama. And that's somewhat concerning. So if Ghost can figure out ActivityPub and make it work appropriately, then I think I will jump to Ghost, because Ghost is at the level that I would be looking at, $10 a month, well, $9 a month if you sign up for an entire year. And assuming that they make the ActivityPub and connectivity across all levels, then that would be enough to make me jump. Because otherwise it has really everything I need. I've used the audio file upload feature of WordPress, and it's nice, but I could easily put stuff on SoundCloud or Bandcamp and then just link, you know, embed it on the posts in my blog. And that would be almost preferable, because then you get better stats. There's a few features that none of these services really offer. Okay, one is they're all aimed at the notion that you are creating a singular entity, and that single entity is aligned with a single niche or topic, and that's all anybody needs. And that is just not a good fit for a lot of us. A lot of us have multiple topics we want to talk about. We have multiple interests. There's very few people I know who could really sustain a blog about just a single narrow topic. I think if you do that, you end up becoming really a magazine editor. And by that I mean you're going to have a editorial calendar, you're going to have a system by which you decide what you're going to publish each week, each month, you know. For somebody who's just doing this from a personal perspective and covering what happens in your life, you need to handle multiple subjects, which means you need a way to segregate those subjects for your readers and your viewers. Because there are folks who might be interested in the stuff I write about field recording, but are really not interested in the stuff I read about camping. Why am I going to make one group read the other group's stuff, right? That doesn't make sense. I'd say WordPress probably has the edge there, but both WordPress and Ghost seem to have some ability to break up newsletters according to subject. What's not clear from either one of them is exactly how you do this. They call it a newsletter, but it really just seems to be an emailed post. When I hear newsletter, I'm thinking multiple posts and having some kind of ability to kind of say, okay, on every Wednesday, send all of the posts that deal with this subject, and every Friday, send a newsletter that contains all the posts on that subject. That's what I envision when I hear newsletters. Neither one of them really do that. But however, there's probably a plugin for WordPress, and there is not a plugin likely for Ghost. Other features that would be cool that neither one of them seem to have is a value for value feature. You know, in this deal of monetization, you know, WordPress is really good at the influencer style blog, right? You're somebody who's become an expert in a field, and now you're selling a newsletter on that subject, or maybe an online course, maybe some other things, right, around a vertical. And, you know, that's good. But again, we're talking about personal blogging here, and that means I don't have this clear niche in mind. I don't have a business plan. I don't want a business plan. What I want is to be compensated for whatever at whatever level I can be for the time and effort I do put into my content. And sure, that I make content doesn't mean it's necessarily worth paying for. But to the extent that some people think it is, I would like to be paid. And I would like to facilitate them paying for it. So, you know, in a value for value podcast, if you listen to, say, Bandrew Says podcast, he has a value for value section where he goes through and he mentions the name of everybody who has listed, who has given him money then the past week and says thank you, you know. There isn't really something like that for WordPress or for Ghost. It is presumed that you package up your stuff, you sell it, it's a credit card transaction, and there you go. I suspect the reason why is because, well, they get a cut of those credit card transactions. And if you do this value for value thing, really, there's three ways that people can pay you. There are three ways people can pay you. One is time, another is talent, another is treasure, right? Two of those are not really traceable. And, you know, why would WordPress or Ghost.org be interested in providing those if they're not going to get a cut? So, I think those are the two big areas where somebody stands to really differentiate from the existing two main platforms. Provide a way for folks who are in a more exploratory business model to get compensated in very flexible ways and find a way to package up diverse kinds of content so that people can get just what they're looking for. That's, I think, that's the next set of features I'll be focusing on. Anyway, that's it for today. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you later.